This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later in the show, getting all your employees on board when it comes to your company's brand identity. But first, the diagnosis of mental disorders is largely based on looking at a patient's history for signs and symptoms that lead to a recognizable syndrome. Symptoms of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, known as ADHD, can include hyperactivity, fidgeting, trouble focusing, or the need to get up frequently. But youth at risk for bipolar disorder often initially present signs of having ADHD. And joining us to discuss bipolar disorder and ADHD in teens are University of Cincinnati College of Medicine Stanley and Mickey Kaplan Professor, Chair of the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Neuroscience, and Co-Director of the Division of Bipolar Disorders Research, Dr. Melissa DelBello, and Dr. Robert McNamara, UC College of Medicine Professor of Psychiatry in the Division of Bipolar Disorders Research and Director of the Lipidomics Research Program. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Dr. DelBello and Dr. McNamara, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I think we need to start by defining what each of these is. What, first off, Dr. DelBello, tell us, what is ADHD, Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder?
So there are a variety of types of attention disorders. There's ADHD, Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, that's predominantly an inattentive type. And then there's also a hyperactive impulsive type. And then you can have both the inattentive features as well as the hyperactive features. The inattentive symptoms are typically inability to focus, inability to do sustained activities that require attention for long periods of time. And that's in contrast to the hyperactive symptoms, where there's a lot of fidgetiness, as you mentioned, or inability to sit still. Those kids tend to think later and act first, and so they act before they think. And so those are really the cardinal features of ADHD. And you can have predominantly the inattentive type, and as you might imagine, that is less recognized and goes longer without diagnosis.
Most people think it would be the hyperactive that, that you're seeing. Is ADHD the same as ADD?
So ADD is the older nomenclature, and so more recently we call all of the disorders involving inattention ADHD, and then define the type. So you can have ADHD inattentive type and predominantly the inability to focus and pay attention without the hyperactivity. So the hyperactivity part of the ADHD is a little bit misleading because you don't have to have hyperactivity.
Is it seen more often in boys or girls?
So the hyperactive type and the combined type that includes hyperactive and inattentive is seen more commonly in boys. The inattentive type, which again goes undiagnosed for longer periods of time, is predominantly in girls.
I was going to ask, because you have two such different types, it's hard to figure out sometimes what you're dealing with as a doctor, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And oftentimes the girls are not diagnosed until late middle school or even high school because they're not as disruptive. They're not causing as much attention and not as much in need of the teacher's discipline. So they go without being diagnosed and just quietly don't do as well in school.
Do we know what causes ADHD?
We don't really know exactly what causes ADHD. We know it runs in families. We know that there are differences in brain development between kids who have ADHD and kids who don't have ADHD, and in their connections between different parts of their brain.
What now? Let's talk about bipolar disorder now. How is that defined?
So bipolar disorder, in contrast to ADHD, when the diagnosis is typically in elementary school, the diagnosis of bipolar tends to happen in late teens, early 20s. And it is characterized by manic episodes. So manic episodes are when you have high energy, you're elated or euphoric, and you feel like you're on top of the world. You feel like sometimes you have special abilities or powers. And sometimes you also are unable to concentrate. And that's where some of the overlap.
Some of that overlap with ADHD occurs.
Yes.
And I know pretty much we look at ADHD as being something we recognize in children and teenagers. What about bipolar disorder? What's a typical onset age for that?
Children can have it, but typically it's after or during puberty, and teens, during the teen period, is the typical onset in most cases.
And like ADHD, do we have any idea what causes bipolar disorder?
Again, it is a brain disorder, and so there are abnormal structure and function of different parts of the brain, not the same parts of the brain necessarily as ADHD, but different parts of the brain that controlled mood and mood dysregulation.
Dr. McNamara, the overlap that Dr. DelBello was talking about, that's something that you're looking into. How difficult does that make it in terms of diagnosing and figuring out whether you're dealing with ADHD or dealing with bipolar disorder?
Well, that's more of a diagnostic issue. I think what we're more interested in is understanding is there a common pathological mechanism that contributes to both. And a lot of our work suggests that perhaps omega-3 deficiency may contribute to both. And what distinguishes bipolar from ADHD is less certain, but in both cases, omega-3 deficiency has been implicated.
And omega-3, that's a fatty acid, a lipid?
Fatty acid found is primarily in fish. We're talking about the preformed version, which is DHA and EPA, which you really can't find other than in fish or in supplements. And so it's quite easy, especially with a Western diet, to be deficient. Particularly mothers, I think, this is an important point that, the brain is developing rapidly in utero, and if the mother is not sufficiently taking enough omega-3 fatty acids, that may adversely affect the baby's brain development, and that may be a precursor for later psychiatric illness.
So your research is looking into whether supplementing with omega-3 would help in these cases.
Right. So the ultimate experiment would be to supplement mothers and look longitudinally to see if those children are at lower risk for developing psychiatric illness. But those are very difficult to do. And so the question has become, can we reverse or reduce symptoms in kids that have already developed it? And we're actually also looking at using brain imaging to see if we can see more subtle changes occurring that may precede changes in symptoms.
How do you diagnose something like ADHD? What's the process for doing that, Dr. DelBello?
So a lot of it is based upon history and getting the information from multiple different settings, from school, from teachers, from parents, and also asking the questions in terms of what criteria do they have? Do they have an ability to focus? Do they have an ability to carry through activities that when they are giving multiple step instructions? Do they have trouble sitting still in the classroom? But a lot of it is asking the questions of multiple informants, not only the parents, but the teachers as well, typically, because it's not just present at home, typically. It's also present in school. And a lot of it, when you actually talk with the child, you can see as well that they're unable to sit still during your interview with them, and they're sort of climbing all over the furniture and stuff like that.
Is fidgeting and being overly, is that definitely a sign that you have ADHD?
Definitely a sign. It doesn't mean that everyone who fidgets has ADHD, but it's when it really impairs the functioning and your ability to function and carry through. A lot of these kids are unable to get their homework from school to home. And then even if they do their homework, sometimes they don't even hand in their homework. It's just a lot of disorganization.
And as far as you use the same steps to diagnose something like a bipolar disorder?
Yes, bipolar disorder is really the manic episodes. There is often depression and depressive episodes. You can be hyperactive and inattentive as part of either a manic episode or a depressive episode. But then there's also the feeling like you're on top of the world, or feeling like you have special abilities, or during the depression, feeling really down and sad and irritable. In children, irritability is a big characteristic.
What would be kind of an offbeat question a little bit, but what would be worse, not recognizing and treating bipolar or diagnosing bipolar and then later on realizing that, no, it's not bipolar, it's something else, it might be ADHD?
So part of diagnosing ADHD would be treatment with a psychostimulant. That's pretty standard treatment of ADHD. However, there are some data, and part of what we're looking at in our research is looking at whether the treatments for a diagnosis like ADHD in those who have a familial risk, so they have a first or second degree relative with bipolar disorder, whether those kids are particularly prone to having a bad side effect of psychostimulants. So you want to be careful in children who have a family history of bipolar disorder and ADHD symptoms to really carefully screen for mood instability, and then appropriate treatment will follow. Mm-hmm. So it's very important, because bipolar disorder is one of the most familial illnesses we have in mental health disorders. So if you have a parent with bipolar disorder, you have a 30% chance of having bipolar disorder instead of the 3% in the population.
30% seems pretty high, actually.
Yes. Yeah. And then if you have two parents with mood disorders, it goes up to 70, 80%.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. And we will continue the conversation. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Joining us to discuss bipolar disorder and ADHD in teens are University of Cincinnati College of Medicine Stanley and Mickey Kaplan Professor, Chair of the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Neuroscience, and Co-Director of the Division of Bipolar Disorders Research, Dr. Melissa Del Bello, and Dr. Robert McNamara, UC College of Medicine Professor of Psychiatry in the Division of Bipolar Disorders Research, and Director of the Lipidomics Research Program. You can join us, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Dr. McNamara, give us some more detail on the research that you're doing. I mean, how many people are you going to involve in the research, and how long is this going to go?
Well, the study that we're currently doing now is recruiting low-risk patients, meaning they have ADHD but don't have a familial risk for bipolar disorder, healthy controls, and individuals with ADHD and have a familial risk for bipolar disorder. And we're aiming to recruit about 120 or more subjects in this study. And the primary goal is to see if there's differential effects of psychostimulant exposure on subtle brain changes that we think are involved in the pathoetiology of bipolar disorder. And we're additionally looking at omega-3 status at the beginning of the study, with the hypothesis that those with the lowest levels are going to have a more adverse reaction to the psychostimulant treatment.
Also, is the research that you're involved in looking into obesity, the link between obesity and ADHD?
Not necessarily ADHD, but certainly
mood disorders, or
well, so treatment effects. So, antipsychotic medications, for example, may induce metabolic dysregulation, leading to increased weight gain and dysregulation in glucose metabolism and things like that. And so, one question we have is, can we co-administer omega-3 fatty acids with that treatment and reduce the cardiometabolic risks associated with that?
And is there a certain age that you're looking for the study?
Yeah, so a lot of our studies are done in early patients with primarily in their teens, ranging now, one of our studies is from 10 to 17 years old, so it covers a large breadth of age.
513-419-7100 to join us, and let's talk with Callie in Walnut Hills. Good afternoon.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have ADHD and bipolar. I'm 28. And recently, I've been struggling a lot with something I call brain shutdowns. Kind of like after a certain amount of work or a certain amount of time doing the same thing, my brain just kind of is like, nope, and stop. And then the only way to snap out of it is I have to leave work, go to work in a different environment, or take a really long break. And I'm wondering if I should explain it to my employers, if that's appropriate to disclose that I am diagnosed with these diseases to my employers or not, and if it is appropriate to tell them how to go about doing that.
Well, first off, is that a common symptom for ADHD and bipolar?
So one thing we've talked a lot about is the symptoms of bipolar disorder and the symptoms of ADHD, but we haven't really discussed that they often co-occur. So there's a high rate, if you have bipolar disorder, there's a high chance you also have ADHD. And the inability to concentrate and focus at work for sustained periods of time may be related to ADHD.
Okay. What about sharing with your employer? Do you have any thoughts on that, or is that something that really is more of a legal issue?
I would say that's probably more of a legal and a personal issue and decision.
Okay. Again, 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. Let's talk to Sarah in Northside. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I was wondering if you guys could talk about childhood trauma and how some of those symptoms of irritability, inability to concentrate, how those are also trauma symptoms and the implications of misdiagnosing trauma as ADHD or bipolar.
What I can speak to is that, you know, there's emerging evidence suggesting that early childhood trauma and sexual abuse can have a long-term impact on your body's ability to or how the body reacts to various stimuli, including sort of immune inflammatory responses, which we know is certainly part of the pathophysiology of bipolar disorder. So it's of interest, again, that these early childhood events can have a long-lasting impact and increase your risk. I would also argue that omega-3 fatty acid deficiency may actually exacerbate that problem.
What effect does diet have on ADHD? Because I've sometimes heard that like artificial sweeteners and things like that have an effect on ADHD. Is there any truth in that?
Well, there's emerging evidence suggesting that artificial colors in food, soda, sugar, candy, I mean, all these things, you can watch it in your own child, the change in behavior. Whether that not that's sort of a situational effect or tapping into a common underlying brain disorder is another question. But I certainly think it's the case that omega-3 deficiency may contribute to the pathophysiological process. And the nice thing about that is diet is a modifiable factor, unlike a genetic risk, for example. So it's something we can manipulate and hopefully improve outcomes for these patients.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join us. And also you can email us, talk@wvxu.org. Beth in Fairfield joins us now. Hi, Beth.
Hi. I have a question about manic behavior. Does telling bold-faced lies qualify as a sort of special power, because that's a behavior that I have noticed, extreme exaggeration and to the point of I easily caught lies. And I was just wondering if that ever is considered manic behavior. I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Beth.
So one of the cardinal features of a manic episode is grandiosity or feeling like you have special abilities and powers. And the extreme of that is absolutely believing that to be the case and what we call delusions. And so that may be a form of a grandiose delusion.
So bald-faced lying, hyper-exaggeration kinds of things to look for?
Exactly.
Okay. Let's talk to Pam now. Hi, Pam.
Hi. So I am calling in. I was diagnosed in my early teens for ADHD, and I'm currently had to switch insurance providers. And so I'm now seeing a nurse practitioner to manage this condition and medication. And at this point, she would like me to be retested to rule out any type of bipolar or any other diagnostic disorder, even though my condition and symptoms have been managed very stably with a psychostimulant. And so I'm just curious of why that would be and if there is any benefit to having to go around that system.
So I think the more diagnostic clarification one can get, the better in general. I think the fact if you're functioning well and your mood is stable, then that makes a lot of sense that, you know, you're doing well, why get reevaluated? But then there may be some indications to your particular practitioner that suggests that maybe the diagnosis wasn't correct to begin with, or sometimes the diagnosis evolves over time. And so people with ADHD may evolve into having bipolar disorder. So ADHD is a risk factor for bipolar disorder.
If this runs in your family, is there a certain age you should be screened for this? Should you be?
So typically during late adolescence, it would be a good time to be screened. And when you're seeing your pediatrician or your family practitioner, if they have any indication to think that you're having mood symptoms or attention problems, then they would likely refer you. So that would be probably the best place to bring it up, or to actually have an assessment by a mental health provider.
Let's talk to Andrea now. Good afternoon, Andrea.
Hi. I have a 14-year-old son who was diagnosed with ADHD, and he's been taking a variety of medications, but they don't seem to work. They haven't really helped him. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about medication or what kinds of treatments might be available for this group of teenagers.
So for ADHD, as we've said, the typical treatment involves a psychostimulant. So medications like Ritalin or Adderall, those are all psychostimulants. And most people who have ADHD will respond, about 70% will respond to one of those typical treatments for ADHD. But also if you have a co-occurring disorder, typically it's a mood disorder, but you can also have an anxiety disorder. And so sometimes the standard treatments for ADHD, if there is more complications or other symptoms or other disorders that co-occur, then maybe a stimulant alone wouldn't be the right treatment, and you'd want to treat those other disorders.
We had a call from Pat. He wanted to know, he'd never heard of ADHD until just the last couple of decades. And he's wondering is it that we actually have more cases, or are we just better at recognizing it?
I think it may be a combination. I think we are better at recognizing it. And we also may be having increased risk factors, such as our diet may be changing, where we're predisposed to more risk of developing these disorders.
And Dr. McNamara, once again, give us the details on the study, how people can find out more about this.
Well, actually, hopefully we can put the phone number up on your system after we're done here. But we do have research technicians waiting for people to call in if they're interested in the study.
Is there a website where people can find out more information? Or is it just the call?
I think the University of Cincinnati Department of Psychiatry, we have our research studies posted on our website.
Okay. So they could find out about it that way.
Also, and, actually, I have the number here. It's 558-6205 if they're interested in participating.
Okay. And we will have that posted at WVXU.org as well. And once again, what should people be looking for if they have children? They're concerned they might be ADHD, might be bipolar. But what signs should they be looking for?
So trouble focusing, paying attention, mood instability, both cases to where it is impairing their function and their ability to function to their potential.
Is that the key thing, impairing function?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you both very much. We appreciate you joining us this afternoon.
Thanks,
Thank
Mark.
You.
University of Cincinnati College of Medicine, Stanley and Mickey Kaplan Professor, Chair of the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Neuroscience, and Co-Director of the Division of Bipolar Disorders Research, Dr. Melissa DelBello, and Dr. Robert McNamara, UC College of Medicine Professor of Psychiatry in the Division of Bipolar Disorders Research, and Director of the Lipidomics Research Program. Coming up, how successful businesses create a culture where all employees, not just those in the marketing department, understand and reinforce the company's brand identity. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.